We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, August 6th, 2025, to order at 8:48 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, and Juergens. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve the minutes of the meeting held July 23rd, 2025. Approve all claims through August 6th, 2025 in the amount of $510,459.50. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1333, the Mid-America Pipeline Company. Mid-America will be occupying Gage County right-of-way for a pipeline repair on 68th Road between Cedar and Buckeye, located east of Section 4, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, Hanover Township. Approve utility permit number 1334 to Waterborne Environmental Inc. Waterborne will be removing water monitoring equipment and occupying the Gage County right-of-way at structure C34-000530 along southwest 117, approximately 1,385 feet south of Elm Road, located east of Section 5, Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Blakely Township. Approve utility permit number 1335 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing a new communication line along Southwest 72nd Road. Windstream will start at Pestel 1019-752VA in the East Greater Ditch bore line under Southwest 72nd to the West Greater Ditch, then transition to plowing north in the West Greater Ditch for 380 feet to the south side of Residence Driveway, located east of Section 2, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Grant Township. Approve utility permit number 1336 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing a new communication line along Linden Road, west of South 10th Road. Windstream will bore under Linden Road, starting at pedestal 1156 S618PD. Located in the north greater ditch, bore under Linden Road to the south greater ditch for 90 feet, then end the bore on private property. Located north of Section 26, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. Approved district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of July 2025. And approved declaring 2015 Chevrolet Express 3500 passenger van, VIN number 1GAZGXFF3F111025 as surplus and advertising it on Purple Wave for purchase. And ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there's any items you would like pulled off for additional discussion.
So moved.
Okay.
Moved by Adams, second by Juergens. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything not on the agenda that you'd like us to talk about in the future?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question. It looks like there's quite a few livestock producers in the area that have come to the meeting. Will they be able to voice their concerns on the discussion, or can they come up during comment time?
I would say they can come up during comment time. I don't know where our discussion will go on the actual livestock, Greg's. I don't know. Unless you guys want them just to come up when we have an agenda item. I just don't know where our discussion will go on those.
Well, I think they ought to be able to come up during the agenda item. Roger?
Six of one and a half dozen the other.
We can discuss with them on the agenda item.
You got the agenda item that says approve or disapprove. So technically, and I understand what you're saying. You don't know which way it's going, but first of all, it would focus. And there may be some people out there that just want to comment on something else, too. So it would make sense to do the agenda item.
At public comment, we can't discuss with them. It would be the... Anything outside of livestock regs that anyone would like to bring up? All right. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Dorn is out today. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. We do have two items on the agenda. One would be for the LED lighting project, and then we also have a bid for ramp, the east ramp, pouring new concrete over hydronic tubing. I will say on the lighting, I had a tremendous response on that. I had a lot of calls on that. And I tried to keep it simple as far as what we needed. I just gave a list of everything to be replaced and then let the installers pick the product. And on one line in there, I put must be in compliance with the BABA guidelines, which is Build America, Buy America. And after I had put that in, we started finding out, that it says misconceptions and reality. It says entities with allocations totaling $250,000 or less are exempt from the Build America, Buy America requirements. So I did let the bidders know that they have that option to bid it, either with the BABA regulations or without. So I think on these bids we're going to see some of each, probably, where they had the option to bid it both ways. So while I was gone, for almost 2 weeks, Adam did a great job. There's a couple things that came up while he was here, and he handled it all very well. We had a power outage and some air conditioners that went out, so everything went good there. And other than that, I'll just wait until the bidding at 9:15 and 9:20 is when those are open.
Maybe I have a question on building grants. Where are we at on removal of the items in the attic?
Are you talking
the storage, the eliminating the weight off of it?
Okay. And that would be on fourth floor. I don't have an answer for that yet. We've discussed.
Can we revisit that again?
I would like to, and I really think we've got items on fourth floor. We've got storage in the attic that's never been good storage. We did talk about possibly finding another building to put them in. But yeah, we should stay on top of that and revisit.
Was it Judge Gerteg going to get back to us with a plan?
He referred it to Roger also. I know.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization. We had just had an equalization meeting, kind of wrapping up the equalization from last year. We will continue to have a reevaluation. The assessor's office is going through the entire county trying to get everything equalized. There were folks that weren't happy that prices weren't equalized on houses, commercial, agricultural land. Every attempt's being made to equalize that across the county, and that will continue this year. It won't be done. We'll get through most of Beatrice this year, and then hopefully by next year, the reevaluation countywide will be finalized. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
We have something very unusual here today. Two large tick-up items. Beatrice, concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $19,091.78. Catherine Sons Construction Incorporated, asphalt, $12,624.01. Bam.
Just to clarify, you meant that was different because there's only two.
There's only two.
Only two. We'll also have budget discussion line item later on in the agenda. As I told you earlier in equalization, we are way over our projected allowable budget this year. So we'll be going office by office, peeling dollars out. This is outside of the normal case. We've been increasing it somewhere between 1 and 2% generally at the county level. This year, with requests, I think we're at 13%. That wouldn't have passed anyway, but with the lid constraints, that is going to be lowered as we go through what the new rules are and try to find out how that all works. I know on the government side it's not always a popular view, but as I told Senator Dorn, we'll make do with what we're given, and a lid is not a bad thing. It stops us from spending. So that's not the popular view here in this building at all times, but we've run very lean. We'll just have to find ways to save some money again. Human Resources, Employee Relations, will have a closed session for employee negotiations with the FOP to go over what the mediation results were and how we move forward at the end of the meeting. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Gus, who's going to talk about this?
For the sake of time, we're going to be busy this morning, I see. I gave you handouts on our activities last July and then how the fair went. So that's for you just to review and to take a look at that. John's up here. He's going to give you, also pass that to you, the most updated quote we got from Axon, and he'll give you the rundown on that.
Good morning.
Morning.
So in front of you, you have the most updated quote from Axon we received yesterday. Just for the fact that Roger's office was even having any interest in some programs that Axon has provided for justice systems, they have decided to discount our contract once again at a total of $17,980. If you see on law, page 3, go to the a la carte hardware, you will see the AB4 camera bundle. That is the body camera, quantity 20 of them. If you go all the way to the right, it says zero. In the last quote that I provided to you guys, that was $17,980. They are giving us our cameras free every time, the first initial ones and the renewals. So they took that off there as well. That is the change that was from last quote.
And Sheriff, we had the option here of doing a monthly payment or yearly or all-in-one. Did you budget for that already in this year's budget?
I budgeted for the body cameras. I didn't know anything about the in-car until we started getting into all this stuff.
Just to remind me, did you budget for the total price, or did you budget it at a monthly price, or I guess a yearly, like over 5-year price?
I don't think there's any difference in price, if I'm correctly on it this time around.
As far as yearly?
Yearly and monthly. I don't think there was there?
There's a lump sum in there.
The only reason I ask is how many dollars were in this year's budget request?
I put some in for the body one, but the rest.
But you don't remember if it was a 20% or portion or if it was a total?
I do not remember without sheets in front of me.
We'll work on it.
I would just tell you, you know, Braden met with Deputy Chavez, and I think made some great headway. One of the things that we talked about was possibility, and we all know if you come up with some cash up front, your price gets cheaper. They gave us a good discount by us jumping in on this thing, which, again, we have to do that. So it's a matter of the timing. And I know it's never a good time to spend money, but, you know, when you're behind the eight ball, that's not the time to be buying. So what we're looking at, and I'll talk to Chairman Thiemann as far as we are coming up with an idea of maybe using inheritance tax monies, because this is a long-term investment that And again, we haven't talked about that. I don't want anybody going crazy out there. I'm trying to save some money by coming up with some cash up front. And a lot of times that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, whether they say they're financing us or not, they are. When they say, we'll work this out over 5 years, anybody buy a car lately?
6%. Well, Deputy Chavez, we appreciate you finding out. There was some information we didn't understand, finding these pieces that all work together. Yeah. The only reason I ask is we will be looking at every penny. You know, how do we finagle it around? And Mr. Harris is correct, but we do appreciate you getting us this information and working on the price, trying to get us the most economical package we can. What we can have.
One other thing I'll say, we did talk with the BX Police Department also, and the program they have can be interchanged with this program. So that basically we'll all be synced together.
So we're going to speak one language?
Are they going to start using
that? That's what the IT people tell me. Now, my idea, what I know about IT is you push this button and the computer's supposed to come on. So. But, that, you know, again, I think we're saving already, you said 17.
You'll see on the front page, since we've started this, we've had a total savings of 100.
John, are there any other, I mean, I hate to even ask this. So this was a major system that hasn't worked. The way I understand it now, this hasn't worked since we started, not the way it's supposed to. Are there other systems that we need to be looking at? I mean, I know things are going to come up all the time.
Discussions, nothing.
Just for our own planning purposes, of course.
I get that. And Emily, to answer your question last time on that, sharing of the cloud, and I don't know if that helps you at all.
It answers my question. I just, while we were purchasing for both, I wanted to see if that would,
it would make sense.
Help us at all. But
we just don't.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
And they're still on their contract, on their equipment. I believe they may have 2 years left yet. So.
Well, hopefully having this contract then would help with the next one if we do.
Right, I think as we've worked with them, you can see as the more you do, they'll work with you.
Yeah.
I can see that being a possibility.
Roger kind of led into part of my question is, first of all, we're talking like this is, we're hoping an 8 to 10 year investment, so long-term investment on this product because it's getting replaced, and then at the end replacement hopefully lasting a few years. With the 70, you know, you break down your yearly fee, which that totals up to your full upfront cost fee or whatever. Is there an upfront, maybe 7% less fee if it's an upfront, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, that would have to be discussed with our rep. I'm sure they do a lot of things with a lot of agencies as far as working with boards and that, so I can have a discussion with them about that, on how I can break it down, but if you want me to get it, I can do it.
If you could ask if there's a prepayment bonus, Mr. Claybaugh?
I'm sure he's only expecting me to come back. We've had fun working with the rep, so he knows what's going on and he understands, so I'm trying to get through it.
I did some research on Exxon and would look at some grant opportunities, and it appeared that they would actually help with some grant opportunities. And I talked to Emily about it, and they would do like two at a time. But is there anything? Have we thoroughly researched some grant opportunities for
the process with the grant? A lot of them are.
And it's
we've done a lot so far. I don't know how much I can ask.
Yeah, it appeared on their website that they would actually help the grant process, which would be really nice.
The grant that I had found would be through the state, and it's limited to two per. And the idea with this is that we're going to replace equipment that's, like, it's not needed or working. So I think we have to start with the initial, but then it'd be nice first with a grant application like that to keep up on. It'd be something we'd look for.
That would do that in our radars right now, same way. Start right out, apply for two, and like Emily said, you start up with that many, it's pretty tough to do that properly.
Two is still important.
I mean, it'd be something they do that for radar as well. So, like, those programs are out there, it'd be something nice to keep up on. Did you, by chance, figure out anything with, like, the mock and the tracks? we can do that. Okay. Sounds good.
Anything else? Questions?
Nope. You're good.
You have none?
No. Well, goodbye.
Thanks for all the work, John.
Thank you for your time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for...
Thanks, guys.
Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything?
Good morning, everybody. Just a report on the emergency management side of things. For those people that are in the audience, our job also does emergency management. So grant funding has been secured through the NEBA process through FEMA, had prioritized the emergency management for disasters. So we have that secured. The application has gone in. That's a 50% match by the county to the state. So that, again, paperwork is in. The other thing is county fair-wise, we did have the emergency management, the EOC deployed out to the fairgrounds. The trailer was there, fully operational. The sheriff's office used that. We've had it out twice in the last 45 days because we utilized it during the cattleman's ball. Everything is going well with it. It's put away now, so hopefully we've got our fingers crossed we won't need it. But we'll wait and see. On county zoning, our next meeting is August 21st. On the agenda so far is we do have a special use hearing for a canine kennel in the Claytonia area. It is an existing farmstead that has some outbuildings. There is a individual coming back from deployment that's going to has the desire to start up a kennel facility, a small kennel facility. And per our regulations, we have to go through the special use permit. But that will be August 21st. And then pending whatever is done here with livestock regulations, whether it goes on our agenda, then on the 21st, we'll wait and see. So I have nothing else.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks.
I think that's all for law enforcement. Well, until closed session.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Road and Bridge, Ms. Axby.
CPF, I met with Manelli Wagner, Arneva, and the new representative through HUD to work on the Odell and Christ Lutheran overlays for the grant, the CPF grant that we got. And we are looking, hopefully, with getting all of the paperwork in, with a start time of maybe in the spring to get that done. Mark is looking at giving culvert replacements probably done this fall, hopefully, so that we can get that overlaid. Also to see if UNL, they're doing the study in our right-of-ways, just to, out of curiosity what those ended up or how they turned out. For the BIP grant, that's going to be opening. The NOFO is going to be opening very soon. And so I've been working with NDOT and the Infrastructure Hub, and we are going to be part of an application. Saline County is going to have the lead, but it will be a joint application with NDOT for a bunch of different bridges. So I'll have an MOU that will be on for the next agenda for to work with Saline County as the lead on that. Three of the five bridges that I have been working on are going to be eligible for this grant. It would be the two over the Claytonia Creek Bridge as well as the Blue Springs Bridge. So we'll have two that we'll have to get the hydraulic study done on to be ahead of the game on that application to get the TSNLs. The CDS applications, we have two that made it to the Senate floor. So if keeping our fingers crossed that we get those voted in, it looks like Hickory Road and Adams Bypass have a good chance of making it to being funded. Vogue-scapes looking to pour on Thursday, and it rained again. Are they? What is the timeline for pouring now?
They did pour yesterday. The first east section on structure 1240, they poured the first 325 feet. We are shooting for hopefully pouring again later this week.
And what happened? Did we figure out? Did they take cores on the slab that broke?
Have not taken cores yet on the slab that have broke.
Okay.
Somebody had went through or removed the barricades on structure 1236 and driven across concrete that had not made strength yet, and cracked two panels roughly in the center of the pour. So those two panels will, what we plan on doing is coring those two panels, breaking one within 24 hours after it's cored, keeping the other one for the 28-day strength, and then doing a non-destructive Swiss hammer or rebound hammer on panels going back to correlate to where the strengths are at.
So. You can't Swiss hammer, though, for 28 days or more, can you?
You just got to correlate it back to your concrete break sample. So.
And then the last thing is that we're working on getting the engineers to do the plans for Sargent Road so we can get that built up.
It is 9:14 on the clock. We have a timed event at 9:15. Does anyone else have a bid for the courthouse lighting project? Hesitate to go into anything else before this. I'd ask again, any courthouse lighting project bids?
That Davis deal is okay.
It should be easy. We'll try it. I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the revised contract between Davis Design and Gage County. This would be for consultation and design work on the potential jail for information purposes. And County Attorney Harris has made that so those designs would belong to the county.
Correct. And they added one paragraph, which I anticipated they would request, that basically says if we do that, in other words, we're not going to use them to do it, but use their design, which we paid for, then there will be no liability attached to them on the project. And that is standard. I said we have not, the board had not approved that because I didn't present that to you. I thought I would, we'd see what happened. And that's the only change in it. I would recommend you approve it. The rest of the contract is what you have already approved.
They would have a way to not be liable for anything anyway, so we're not really losing anything.
Don't say that on the record.
Moved by Juergens, second by Haxby. Any discussion on that item? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. With that,
there you go.
It's 9:15 on the clock. Last call for courthouse lighting project bids. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close bidding at 9:15.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Juergens. Close bidding at 9:15. Please vote. 6 in favor. Bids are closed.
Yeah.
Those are also the lighting project?
It looks like we have 9 bids. So, Dave, there's a couple. There's one that's listed as, it says LED lighting project, and then the next, it's from the same company. Then it says courthouse lighting upgrades. Is there something different?
There would be with that BABA. I think some people will probably put in a bid with the BABA requirements and one without the BABA.
So it's for the same bid, it's just different equipment?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, the first two that we're going to open up are going to be AP Electrical Solutions. Doesn't look like there's any bonds, so we'll just do total amount, I guess. So $146,400. This is with T8 fixtures, compact fluorescent can lights, existing globe fixtures.
Do you want Dave to come up and go over any of those with you? Or?
He sure can. I mean, if
Dave,
that's going
to
get...
Would you like to come up?
He's probably going to want to review them anyway after we get them open.
We will have enough bids. I would like to just go through them. And even at that point, I think we need to contact the grant people and make sure that we have all the requirements met before we would award it also.
That makes perfect sense. And that first one was BABA compliant, that bid was. Okay, the second one from AP Electrical Solutions. The total dollar amount is $73,650. T8 fixtures. Looks like the same. Looks like the same numbers. Yeah, all the same numbers. Just not. It's a non-BABA compliant bid. So that total was $73,650. Next bid is from IKIO LED Lighting. Like the total cost on this one is $115,435.51. So I'm not seeing if it's BABA compliant on this one. It looks like it's going through an electrical board license with Joshua Stoller out of Adams, Nebraska. So.
Maybe it's somewhere at the bottom.
Yeah, I didn't see it as I scanned through there. Yeah, Dave was just going to have to read through it. Total cost $115,435.51. Yeah, it's all one document. It didn't look like there was an alternate bid in there. All right, next bid is going to be from Plymouth Electric.
I'm going to stop you just for a second, Mr. Lytle.
Yep.
Are there any bids for the East Ramp project in the audience? If not, I'd ask for a motion to close bidding on the East Ramp project at 9:20.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Jergen, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Bidding on East Ramp project is closed at 9:20. Please continue.
Okay, the next two bids are Plymouth Electric. The first bid is BABA compliant, and the total on that one is $75,414. Okay. Yeah, I'm guessing this one's ramp. Because we can now open those two, so.
Yeah.
All right, the second bid from Plymouth Electric is non-BABA. Total amount's $56,918. Back to that one. Next lighting project bid is from HACO Electric. There's two bids kind of included in one here. The base bid that is non-BABA compliant is $74,600. In order to have BABA compliant light fixtures, there's an additional an add of $21,275. The next lighting project bid is Superior Lighting. Must be in compliance with BABA, so this bid's going to be BAB compliant, $142,915, and that was Superior Lighting. I think this is all just documents on the lighting fixtures. Okay. Did I miss? I did not see anything else on there. I just saw the one bid.
Just one
That one would be just the one bid. He did email me saying he was just going to stick with the BAB.
Just did the BAB compliant. That's what it looked like, the way it read anyway.
I'm getting over here.
And then the last bid for the lighting project, which means we're only going to have one bid for the ramp. The last bid for the lighting project is Philippi Electric. Oops, got it. Looks like we're going with non-BAB guidelines on this. Total amount of the bid is going to be $74,345.88.
I would ask for a motion to refer those over to Mr. Jones for review and have him come back to us at the next meeting.
We have to accept all bids with that.
Second.
Non-BAB, and that's
right. We have to accept all bids with that.
Yep.
We could accept
all and refer to. I've motioned that.
Motion by Haxby, second by Claybaugh, to accept all bids and refer them to Mr. Jones for review and a recommendation at the next meeting. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Mr. Adams stepping out. Motion carries. Please continue, Mr. Lytle.
All right. One bid for the East Ramp Project, Lammel Plumbing. Hereby propose to furnish the materials and perform the labor necessary to replace 90-foot by 5-foot of concrete and hydronic tubing slope per ADA specifications and reusing the grate cover for the 10-foot drain slot connected to the sump pit. Total cost $16,300. I would assume we'll want to have Dave look at that quick before we approve it. We want to accept or do you need to look at the bid at all?
I can look at it. I think since that is the only bid, I will say, being local, Todd Heidel was very familiar with what we had. So I have talked to him over the years about getting it replaced also. So I know he was very familiar with it. And I did contact four people for this bid. I reached out. So Lammel Plumbing was the only one that did get back to us. But yeah, I would.
I mean, it's pretty basic. It don't look
like
this.
Yeah, I would say we would be good to move forward with this.
Ask for a motion to accept an award to Lammel Plumbing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Juergens, to accept an award east ramp project in the amount of $16,300.
It's only bid.
Leave.
Yep. But that was the total, wasn't it?
16,300. I think that number's right.
$16,300.
John's going to want that back, too, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, don't make off with that, Dave. Any discussion on the ramp project? If not, please vote.
I know. My disappear.
Please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. That was a motion by Lytle, second by Juergens.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, with that, we will move on to budget requests from the Historical Society and Hope Crisis. Let's start with Mr. Norton with the Historical Society. Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
What's your name and address for the record, please?
Dave Norton, 511 McLean Street, Philly, Nebraska. Good morning. I'm speaking today on behalf of the Gage County Historical Society, and I want to begin by thanking you for your past support of the Historical Society. For over 10 years, we have received $30,000 from the county, and we greatly appreciate it. I'm here today to respectfully request an increase of $20,000 in our annual budget allocation. These funds would be used to fund the salary of a curator, tasked with a critical and time-sensitive project. We need to process and digitize over 100,000 items in our collection that we've accumulated over the last 50 years. These are documents of newspapers, photographs, letters, maps, public documents that hold memories of Gage County. And they tell the story of our communities, our families, and our shared past. But without the proper care and professional expertise, this treasure trove is at risk of being lost. We want to, by preserving and digitizing, we will put these items in an organized, searchable, and public accessible archive and for other people to be able to research these items. A curator is essential to help manage the group of volunteers, which is the backbone of this process, as they scan all the past history items, completing the task. Without adequate funding, we are unable to keep pace with the work and risk loss of deterioration and disorganization of these items. We also want you to remember that our facility is located in a flood zone, so there we have a risk of, to those documents also. We recognize the county has many important responsibilities, but we request this is a long-term investment in education, heritage, and civic pride. We believe the project values it correlates to the values of Gage County, and we are committed to doing the work with your support to ensure our history is preserved and shared, not shelved and forgotten. We respectfully ask for your support in increasing our annual allocation by $20,000 to help us complete this task. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Norton?
What does that total project cost?
We estimate this is a 10-year project to digitize all 100,000 items that we have in our collection.
Dave, thank you for all the time you put in.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys know, Dave's on the Engage board as well, served as treasurer for a long time. That was one of those roles where that has been a little more time necessary role than some other boards as well. So thank you for your time on Engage as well as the time you put in at the Historical Society.
Thank you.
Roger, is the Historic Foundation a 501c3? Is that something that we could look
into? It's basically it's like a quasi-governmental. I think it's a
501c4. They've got money from the
Is that something, that project something we could look at doing tourism with?
I think it would be, yeah. But
I guess what I just meant to ask.
Thinking out loud.
I mean, talking about tourism. It is.
Yeah. Did Dave,
Mr. Jurgens,
have we looked at doing something with tourism dollars for that project too?
No. We have a project from the tourism grant coming before you today.
Yeah.
And we did a sign that the light up sign along the highway that was funded partially with tourism dollars.
Right. I was just asking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Mr. Jurgens?
What was the amount that they received last year?
Somewhere around 28,000, is that correct?
Seems about right.
All parts, yeah.
There was a couple different ones, I think, that they had.
Dave, does that sound correct? Do you currently receive somewhere around 25 to 30?
I'll defer that to Lisa.
Okay.
Cassandra.
Cassandra, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Yes. My name is Cassandra Dean. I'm the executive director of the Historical Society. I live in Wilbur, Nebraska, 505 North Main. I've been at the Historical Society for 4 years now as the director. We receive $30,000 from you guys annually, so...
And that comes, there's a tax allocation allowed to the Historical Society, so we do tie that in as part of our mill levy that we allow out. So if there's a $20,000 change, what we would do is get our valuations back, that mill levy back in, and that's how that would come about, if you guys care.
They're a different line item. They're an actual line item on the taxing, your on your taxes.
If you look at the tax slip, it'll be just like Beatrice Public Schools, Gage County, Beatrice, any of those. Any other questions for the Historical Society?
Thank you, Lisa.
Cassandra.
Thank you, Hope. Does Hope Crisis have someone here?
Yeah. I couldn't help it.
Oh. Come on up. Yes. Okay. Could you give your name and address for the record, please?
I will do that, yes. Good morning. My name is Tyler Weisson. My address is 2300 Grant Street here in Beatrice. As I said, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Again, my name is Tyler Weisson, and I am proud to live in Beatrice and represent Gage County on the Board of Directors for Hope Crisis Center. I have the pleasure today to introduce to you a few of the folks that do the hard work for us. So if you'll humor me here, Christina Locke is our community engagement and advocacy coordinator. She's been with us for about 12 years, works out of our Beatrice office here. Carrie Emerson, right there. Carrie has been with us about 18 years. She is our sexual assault advocate for Gage and Jefferson County, and she works alongside Christina here in Beatrice. And, of course, our executive director of 28 years, Carmen Hinman. And I'm just so proud of the work the Hope Crisis Center does in our county and in our communities. The need is critical for those services that HCC provides. I don't know where we'd be without them. What they add to our quality of life and our communities and our quality of health is invaluable. And if you've never had or don't know anyone who's been impacted by domestic violence or sexual assault, count your blessings. We're so fortunate to have them in our community. And these women in this organization do so much. So I guess with that, I would invite Carmen up, our executive director, Carmen Hinman, to share with you all and help answer any questions you all might have. And again, thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah.
And just for information to the board, we had funded Hope Crisis. We stopped 2 years ago when the auditor got on us. We were funding organizations that we weren't statutorily allowed to. Legislation changed last year, which does allow Hope Crisis to be funded by Gage County again.
Good morning. Carmen Hinman. 1012 M Street, Fairbury, Nebraska, and I am the Executive Director of Hope Crisis Center. Thank you for the opportunity to share some information regarding our organization this morning. As Eric shared, we have had some hiccups along the way. We have been serving victims in this community since 1992, and we have received some funding from Gage County. We go before all of our counties in our service area, which is a total of seven, Gage County being one of those. And so in 2022, there was some concerns with an audit finding. We had some communications regarding that. We were funded in 22-23 after some of those discussions, and then 23-24 and 24-25, we did not receive support from Gage County, and very lack of minimal communication from Gage County when reaching out. So I come before you today to not only hopefully have you look through your packets of information, because 5 minutes does not give adequate time to the incredible work that we do in this county and the number of lives that we touch in this county. So I desperately ask you to look through your packets and familiarize yourself with the great work that we do here and the many lives that we touch here. I also would just like to clear any air. Again, I have been with the organization for 28 years. I am very knowledgeable of funding and income in and out of our organization, and I'm happy to meet the request of whatever that looks like for Gage County, providing general ledgers, providing backup documentation, whatever contractual agreement that you would like to put in place if LB 940 does not meet that need. Again, as Eric stated, when there was concern, we then contacted Senator Byron Dorn, and we worked with Senator Dorn to put LB 940 into place so that the counties could support the work of victim services, specifically for domestic violence and sexual assault. So with that, again, I know that I have limited time, and so I would like to address any questions that you might have or any air that we might need to clear.
Carmen, question just out of curiosity here. There's a victim assistance. I mean, we have several victim assistance programs. One, we have a contract with the city. They actually cut one staff member 2 years ago. They continued on with one. I'm drawing a blank on her name now.
Chavez.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Chavez. What do you guys do compared to what the victim assistance coordinator at the city?
Yep, I'm happy to address that. So what Chavez's job is she is a victim assistance. She is works in the police department, and she serves all victims of crime, which can include victims of domestic and sexual violence. What that program does that is different from ours is that we are a 24/7 program. We provide emergency shelter. We provide meals. We provide rent assistance, deposit assistance, those resource needs that victims need to free themselves from the situations that they're in, the violence that they're experiencing. So we work closely with Chavez, and Christina and Carrie can attest to that. When there is service need beyond what Chavez provides in her department, she reaches out to us. She makes a referral. We meet with those victims, and then, of course, we go ahead and proceed as we need after that assessment. We, again, have a 24-hour hotline, and so we are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of the year. And so we do have some difference. Yes, there is a little bit of crossover. Chevis can assist with protection orders, et cetera. So can we. We will walk those clients through that criminal justice process. We are not attorneys, but definitely advocates, and definitely advocate for them even getting attorneys if that is a need for them. So that's a great question. It is a service that is a great service for this community as well. I would just say we meet the needs of what Chevis's department cannot meet.
And your office is in Beatrice, isn't it?
We have an office in Beatrice. We have 5 office locations because, again, we cover 7 counties. So we have an office here in Beatrice where both Carrie and Christina office in.
Mr. Claybaugh?
So you have 7 counties, mm-hmm. and Tyler had said that 5 of the 7 counties contribute money?
All 6.
Six.
Currently, so Gage County is.
Approximately how much do they give?
Yes, I can answer that. So
is it in the packet here? I kind of glanced through and I didn't see anything.
It's not. The totals aren't, but I have that information. I can certainly share that with you. Fillmore County provides $7,272 to our organization. Jefferson, $7,678. Saline County, $14,371. Seward County, $18,011. Thayer County, $6,642. And York County, $13,883. Gage County is our largest county, obviously, by population. It's also our largest county by services. So we provide far more victims services in Gage County than we do the rest of our counties. So how we kind of go about our request is we asked for a combined, our 7 counties combined, 10% of our annual budget. And then, of course, we figure population into that. And that's where we get the requested need for Gage County at $20,924. Obviously, I know that that's significantly more than the $7,500 that has been provided to us in previous before we were no longer funded by Gage County. But again, it's because Gage County has not ever been at the level that we have requested in comparison to our other counties. And again, the service is far more in Gage County than we do. And what also is important to know is that money goes back to the county. So it's the clients that we serve here. It's operations to keep our offices going. It's tire repairs. We've bought a bicycle before. It's rent deposits, assistance, things like groceries, all of that stuff that meets the needs of the victims that we serve in Gage County.
Where's your other funding come from? So this is 10%. Where's the majority of your
So
funding?
We are funded by state and federal funds and private donations, and then county support dollars. So
state and federal is your primary funding source?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Carmen, you stated in there you use these dollars for grant matches.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea, you know, how many dollars if we're putting $25,000 in, how many dollars is that extra creating by grant matches?
Right. And that's a great question. And what I will share with you to full disclosure is our VOCA, and I've actually included a VOCA informational insert, which VOCA is Victims of Crime Act, and that is state dollars that we receive. That is, it's a pass-through. It's their actual federal dollars, but it's a pass-through the Crime Commission, the Nebraska Crime Commission, so it comes to us as state dollars. It's a federal pot of fund. Since COVID, we typically have a 25% match for that grant. And since COVID, they have taken away, they removed that match allocation. Our understanding is that match allocation is coming back into play. So there are some different grants that we apply for that, that again, ask us for a match. So at the current time, this is not match required. The VOCA funds are not match required, but that will be coming back into play. Thank you.
And like I say, for board information, 2 years ago, we stopped funding them. At that time, it was $7,500. Along with Mr. Norton's request, what we're currently putting into the budget would be the same as years past, just so you guys know as well, and Mr. Norton also. The initial proposal, what's going through right now, which when I say going through, this is just preliminary before you guys take a look and make any changes or anything like that, everyone would be held at the same dollar amounts again. In years past, there were always increases to every single outside funding entity. Everyone always wanted additional dollars. 5 years ago, we put a cap on that, stopped increasing them and left them flat. Not saying that's right, wrong, or otherwise, just giving you some perspective as to where we're at right now. Now, any of that's up for discussion, and that's why Carmen and Dave are here to discuss this with us and let us know what they want. We talked about this, and anybody that wants to come in and ask for outside funding, including folks that we're funding already, we're going to let them visit with us and give us their spiel and see what's going on. So we appreciate you presenting to us and also bringing the other folks in. Additional questions for Hope Crisis, Gates County Historical. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You know, if I was coming in and asking.
Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove a visitor improvement grant to the Historical Society for Cottage Hill Farm Outdoor Classroom in the amount of $26,032.
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle, who sits on our Visitor Improvement Committee.
Second.
Second by Adams to approve this. Ms. Rita Zoll, are you here to talk about this? Good morning.
Now, this time we'll start it out right. I'm Maureen Rita Zoll. I'm the chair of the Gage County Visitor Committee. I live at 721 Grant Street.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here today to tell you about this project a little bit. And Cassandra Dean, who we met earlier, is also here to answer any questions if that comes up at all. I'm glad I had this chance because I know Visitors Committee funds were already talked about a little bit. That is allowed by state law, and it has very specific ways in which it can be spent. if you think capital improvement, and then possibly publicity related to the tourist sites that the other money went to, in other words, we don't get to pay for salaries, and we don't get to pay for soft project kind of things. It's brick and mortar and the publicity of those brick and mortar places. So, and in this case, this fits very well because the original funding was an enhancement of an existing site, and obviously the Philly Barn has been with us a long time and is an existing site, and this started out being the thought of what can be done to just make that more amenable throughout the year, not just when they're having an event. And it started out with a very nice picnic shelter, and as you can see, that the structure itself lent itself to the idea of an outdoor classroom, and the name came about because that used to be Cottage Hill Farm, and the location of this particular structure is very close to, if not exactly on, the location of that original house. So not only is it something that's useful, Cassandra has a background in education. She's already got the whole day camp idea laid out for these kids that will be coming both close by, but I'm hoping with some publicity, we may attract some people from even farther away. Plus, as this has been developed, it should allow for things like family reunions, school reunions, even weddings that just have that extra little help that you need when you're doing something out in the middle of nowhere, which it is kind of with the Philly Barn, and yet you want to have that wonderful setting. So this should really truly enhance the tourism opportunity. Their request was for $26,032, and that was the amount that was approved by the Visitors Committee to be passed along for your consideration today.
questions for Lorraine? If not, we have a motion by Lytle, second by Adams. These funds, I will point out, are not based off of property tax. These are brought in by lodging tax.
That is correct.
Or hotels, things like that. So they're specifically brought in from lodging tax to increase tourism to the area.
And we do try to look at it in terms of tourism that also is, as we say, heads on beds, that we want to have people stay longer than just a quick little trip. And so that is always a consideration when we're looking at these proposed grants.
No additional comment? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lori.
Up next, approve or disapprove contract between Minnelli Wagner and Associates in Gage County for engineering work for the CPF grant project. This would be specifically for the Christ Lutheran and Odell South Blacktops. This is a formality that we have to go through in the administration of that grant using a pre-approved engineer who happens to be an engineer we use on a regular basis anyway.
Motion to approve.
Second. This is just from the RFQ process. We did the request for qualifications. Minnelli responded, and so we have to do the contract. This contract was a sample that came from NDOT so that we meet all the federal guidelines.
And I would guess Attorney Harris would tell us we are not going to change that DOT contract anyway.
I can try if you want. No, I did get a copy of it recently, and I reviewed it. So I saw nothing in it to cue you people not to approve it. Go ahead.
All right. We have a motion by Jerkin, second by Haxby. Additional discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. I have a request for a recess before we go into livestock regulation talk. I thought this would be briefly talked about, but it looks like we may visit a little longer on this one. Let's take a 5-minute recess at 9:54.
I'll be back.
See you after.
Just a few minutes downstairs.
If you push, you might get it done before we get back.
What's his last name?
Well,
Kevork?
In his rule. But you know, one thing I do see, we don't have near the theft we used to have, do we?
That's not very loud. I must have really whacked that that time.
Yeah.
Well, you made it spin like a top.
We will reconvene at 10:05 on the clock. Last item of business for the public, it looks like, before county budget discussion. We'll be on a
zero calorie.
Really? Approve or disapprove sending the livestock regulations draft to the PNC Commission for review. Mr. Adams will be right back up. He ran downstairs for a second, but just in a quick overview of this letter, there's a new draft. When was this? This draft is as of yesterday?
Yeah, so we met with do you have the beginning, or are you going
to
cover that part?
Well, how did we get to this point? A letter was sent to PNC last year, I believe.
2023,
a letter was sent to the PNC after multiple discussions. It went to the PNC for discussion to see, look at reviewing some regs. PNC decided not to look at anything. It was sent back. And, Lisa, I think what you told us was the PNC said they didn't want it to take a look at this without any public input. So it was shelved and put right back to the board. Without any review, without any recommendations, without any changes.
They did review the request.
They did. They reviewed it and chose not to take action.
Their recommendation, which was one of the recommendations they can make, is these changes or no changes. And they recommended no changes.
Because of no public input, correct?
No. I think, and again, you want to get into the context of what they were at that time. They were having meetings almost as often as the Board of Supervisors over all kinds of things that were very challenging.
We were in solar. We were
promoted a lot of discussion within the county. Very different views that, you know, basically that's what planning and zoning is about, is you got to bring them together and see if we can get it to fit. And they had a very, as I recall, I was at that meeting. I think it was a very lively discussion, good discussion, back and forth. And when it got all said and done, to cut it to the chase, they basically had a motion to recommend no change.
There was a motion, though, for no change. See, talking to Chairman Argo, I thought it was they didn't want to have any change without public input, so they wanted public input provided, and they didn't have the time to do it, so they wanted the board to do it, get public input. So we went through those steps specifically at the request of the PNC.
But that was some discussion. There were several items of discussion. And again, public input is always welcome.
The biggest thing was that the board asked for community outreach on all regulations.
Planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning did. As we reviewed the regulations, coming back and discussing and looking at all regulations, let's have some community outreach meetings so that we can discuss it. That you guys chose not for us to move forward with that, and so that's why it sat to this point. They had no, they did not want have
they
any changes.
They didn't have time to have public outreach, so they said that's something the board should do, the Board of Supervisors.
I was not aware of that. They were willing to be part of that process, you know, attend the meetings and so forth, but needed approval from this board in order to have, you know, those outreach meetings. We knew also that our comprehensive plan would be coming up in addition to, you know, negotiating a contract, and so.
PNZ would need permission from us to have public output or public input meetings?
We sent it back for having community outreach. That was our suggestion to you guys.
So that's what the board did then. They acted on that and got public input. We put that out on the agendas and asked for people to come in. We had quite a few people come in. A letter was sent, or request was made a couple weeks ago, but it wasn't a formal letter, evidently. So that's how we got to this point. A committee consisting of Ms. Haxby, Mr. Dorn, and Mr. Swavely was put together for public outreach and putting together a draft. They came up with just a draft letter to send to PNZ. That letter was then gone over by Braden and Amanda in the attorney's office. As a rule, Braden sits with the PNZ. Amanda assists with that also, but they made some corrections to that. I don't know if you have a copy of this letter yet or not, Lisa.
I do not. I have a copy of the original that was sent to me from Don with the suggested regulations to move forward with a public hearing.
Have you sent anything on as far as this new draft from yesterday? There's a new draft now as of yesterday. This will be the intention is this would be the new letter to send to the PNZ after having public input. These would be the items to take a look at. I assume you'll have a red line copy where it shows, or I guess you have your existing regs. This would be public input, different items to lay side by side and review. We will be doing our updated regs anyway through one of the companies we've talked to. But I guess what's up for discussion today is to approve and send these suggestions from the public on to PNZ for review or not. That would be the approve or disapprove.
Yeah, that's right. The board basically is going to review this revised request and tweak it and basically either approve sending something or not.
And this isn't a request. This is just the input from the public to send over
through the committee
to the planning and zoning.
Well, you got the three people, Emily, Dave, and Eddie, were on that committee. And they basically met with people. I don't know the extent of what they met, but they took public input.
And Doran's out for a medical reason. Mr. Schwavely was going to come. He's actually out for medical, also not coming in today. Ms. Haxby, do you want to just touch on how you guys, who you talked to, how you...
Well, you guys heard from everybody that we heard from here in the public.
You didn't meet outside of this.
No,
this
I mean, meeting. Everybody took calls and suggestions, but most of the input we had was from people coming into our meetings that we had here. And we just tried to come up with a reasonable one. You know, there were some that were way out of line, some that were more realistic, tried to put together a draft for a discussion. Then we met with Braden. I met with Braden and Amanda yesterday, went through some of it, and we took a couple pieces out that were really hard to clarify that they said would be just really difficult to put into any context. They understood where it was coming from, but it was just hard to put into language for regulations. And so we went through that, kind of cleaned it up a little bit. There was one section in there that should be in another section that we'll get to at another time. So just kind of went through, cleared it up with legal before it got sent as a draft. And once it's sent there, it's open to, it's a draft, as it says in the...
I guess for folks sitting here, there's no regulation changes occurring at this time. This is a draft to go to the P&Z as they requested. The way we understood, the P&Z didn't want to look at it until there was public input. That's the way I understood it. We advertised for... Is it 3 months?
We did, I think, 2 or 3 meetings.
I thought it was longer than that, but asking people to come in. Mr. Jergens.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the intent was to allow people to come in and talk. Now, every time there's a hot-button item, then people are in to talk about things. As a rule, they don't. So trying to spark discussion a little bit, having people come talk to us. Nothing, so just so you guys are very crystal clear, this is not a regulation change. This just goes back to what we asked, a request for P&Z to relook at some of the regs again. The actions today would be send this on, the public input from the committee, say, hey, take a look at these P&Z. That would be an approve. Disapprove would say don't take a look at these. If they and this goes away, then if it does go to the P&Z, the next step would be the Planning and Zoning Commission would take a look at these and decide what to do with it. If they wanted to take action on anything, they'd have discussions and then a public hearing.
Well, they put it on their agenda as an item to discuss input. And I'm not going to speak for the chairperson there, but you know, again, usually it's going to invite. On more than one occasion, people to come in that may be affected and give them an opportunity to voice their consideration of what's being done or proposed. And then once they make a decision, planning and zoning, after whatever number of meetings they choose to have, I mean, they can set it up for 2 or 3 meetings, one an introductory, 2 to have a real good discussion, 3 to pick up some other things that come in from the meetings. They will formulate a response to this body. Here's what we would request. And again, it may have some of these things, and it may have some other things.
Before making a formal request, though, they'd also have a public hearing,
at least one.
And vote on an actual letter that they would want to send back to us, if any, or give us an opinion.
Correct.
And then before any regulation, even if they would say whatever, that would come to us then. If there's a change requested, we would have discussions, have to have a formal public hearing, at least one, again, also.
I say at least one because sometimes, you know, 2-3 years ago when we had the discussion on these items, some of those things went into the next day almost. And that does a lot of discussion it is, you know, there's a lot of people who get charged up on this stuff, and that's why you have the good discussions. And I think, you know, Lisa can echo this. I think they were very good discussions. Sometimes it gets a little ornery, I'll say, but we've been taught real well by the federal people to do that. So.
But then if something would occur after that, that's when regulation would be – that's at the point
that
there'd be a regulation change.
Then it comes up here, and you guys, people, will look at that as far as their recommendation, and you may bring in somebody like you know, one of the companies that works with these P&Z. You may bring in counsel. I'm sure Mr. Dvorak will be down here to talk with you. Lisa will also have some input and give you what the reaction was specifically from the planning and zoning people. But again, that will be a public hearing. They'll have plenty of notice for the people to attend. So I think that was important to clarify because I see some folks out here. And sometimes you look at this and you say approve or disapprove and you get really excited in a real hurry. And that's I don't say that negatively. I think it's good that you're like, okay, we want to make sure we're on top of this. And then, and that's the way it should be. That's why we put notices in the paper and stuff like that. So I just want, before we got going on this meeting, we're a long way from approving any changes to
There aren't any proposed changes to approve or disapprove at this point in time.
No. Any vote today will be simply to send a letter specifying what they would ask Planning and Zoning Commission to look at.
Mr. Claybaugh.
I appreciate all of this because Rex and I were kind of, this was before us, and we didn't, I didn't know there had been so much public input on this, so I appreciate it. Now it's a little clearer to me, probably you too. Huh?
And it's my understanding, and I guess Lisa sees it a little different, that I thought we were specifically requested to have the public come in and talk about things before we requested anything to be looked at. Mr. Jergens, are you ready, or are you still going to wait a bit?
I'm ready.
So, yeah, when that the proposed suggested regulations were, given to you 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, I was forwarded that by Don. Don said in that email to move forward with the process, for a public hearing. There were concerns for all producers, and I think that's why.
Move forward with public hearing.
The email stated that move forward for public hearing process, to move forward to the public hearing, the process for P&Z. So,
for a regulation change?
To review the regulations as presented in the suggested body.
Then you spoke to the attorney's office. The attorney's office spoke to us that we needed to do it formally, so that's what we're doing today.
Yep, and that's great.
How long would that take if this would pass to send you a formal letter from the committee? How much time would that take prior to for discussion meetings prior to a public hearing? I mean, you're looking at months out before you...
Not without seeing them. I mean, we saw the first review version of it that was offered that I received on Monday, last Monday. So that in mind, I'm sure P&Z, that's been pushed out to P&Z already. So they could start their, thinking about the process, thinking about what to do, how that impacts certain regulations. So they've not seen the most recent draft as of yesterday. But as far as length of time, it could go as an introductory on the August 21st, for just general, general review, I guess.
But, I mean, just for rough timeline for people.
It could be 6 months.
It could be 6 months before
you're
even ready.
I don't know.
Look at stuff. I mean, it's not like when I saw all the folks here, even if there's going to be a dramatic change, before it came to the board, it could be 6 months plus. And then if it got here, it could be months. I mean, there's nothing in the immediate future on anything.
Unfortunately, Chairman, in the planning process, the producers, the poultry producers, for instance, that are being represented here in this room today are having to make decisions based upon their industry changes. They're in the planning components. They've been chatting with P&Z probably for the last 6 to 8 months. Of the compliancy that they're being required. So these decisions have to be made sooner than later, and the impacts that they've seen in the first draft will be greatly influenced, with their decisions of whether or not they can continue with their needs for their organic side of things. So I would encourage you to at least hear a little bit about what their concerns are today. So
I'm just trying to, even an unrealistic change, though, I mean, if, say the board was trying, and I'm not saying that we are, but I'm just trying to say there's an unrealistic change, something that we know won't go. we couldn't get that done in 6 months unless we made an incredible effort to. More than likely, it's going to be, if there would be something like that, more than likely, we'd probably be 8 months the way things move along. Anything permitted prior to any changes would be at the current regulations at the date of permit also.
The question will be also as one expands, because of the expansion criteria right now required in the poultry industry, and that may move them up to into a new classification on their size. So if new regulations come in, where does the grandfather of the existing, you know, fall under place? Because they would be moving into a new classification. Does that make them a new producer, having to follow by if you did change the setback requirements? And the setback requirements, what was first proposed, was 100% increase of setbacks to the existing. So significant change.
Is that something you see the P&Z? Do you think the P&Z would be in support of 100% increase
in setbacks? I will not speak before them, for them. They need to have time to...
That's very fair without them seeing it. But I mean...
Yeah.
We're supposed to be an ag-friendly county. We're 72% rural or more in our area. Our economy is based way more than 72% on our rural inputs. So, I mean, I'm afraid afraid there might be some undue fear on things, but I guess I shouldn't say that because, I mean, we got chased out of town for having hogs, so, I mean, I know what that's like.
Eric?
Mr. Juergens.
Let's cut through the chase here. This whole thing's about setbacks, okay? That's what the topic is. I want everybody to go back 3, 4, 5 years ago, I can't tell exactly, wind turbines was a hot topic. We expanded those parameters so far that wind turbines are basically excluded from Gage County now. I don't want to do the same thing here. That's all I had to say.
Terry, while some of these were expanded based on the public input, we also added to non-participating dwellings, trying to open that up a little bit more too for especially those community members that are good neighbors.
And I understand that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Mr. Adams.
Well, my only thing is, you know, I was there originally when Gage County was voted ag-friendly. We always wanted to stay ag-friendly. My biggest concern over this whole thing, you guys obviously know more than I do, because today was the first day I got the draft. That troubles me that round up the Army before anything's even taken place as far as we're concerned. So from that end of it, I have a concern on that end of it, that maybe the processes haven't been followed like they should be. But
yeah, it is bad if we're getting the letter after you folks are all getting the same letter.
This morning's first time it's been on our desk.
Well, this was done
revision,
last night.
Because we just met with Emily yesterday.
Yes.
And that's a scheduling situation.
Yeah, we've never seen it.
And I'll say that. And again, Rex, you know, the last thing I would do or participate in is any type of charade or behind the scene crap.
I'm not saying.
You know, I would never do that.
No,
to
I'm
you.
Not. I'm not implying.
I never
that.
Would, and I wouldn't do it to the public. But again, if people actually read the agendas, you know, that's enough to get. You know, I don't care what size of farmer I am, that's enough to get me excited. And
all
the fact
it says
that they show
is
up.
The livestock regulation draft. So, I mean, sending the livestock regulation draft is all that's on the agenda.
Fear the unknown.
I understand that.
But I don't know if these, you know, I mean, they took time out of their day to come in and...
Well, I think they can all talk. I mean,
well, I think they
that.
May be able...
They came
what
in.
I just
there's other
do
things
was,
you'd rather be doing than sitting here.
I just wanted them
well.
To calm down and realize that they don't have to go full bore to say, we're going to fight this.
Yeah.
I understand they're concerned about it, and I think Lisa's correct. Let's hear their concerns. And again, it's not to me. It's to this board. They took the time. I think it's worth at least...
The reason I say, though, when we talked about when people will talk, we're not at a point where there's a... There's, we don't have anything to vote on as far as any regulation change. If anything was going to change, like I say, we've got months at P&Z. More than likely, we've got months here if there is a change. Even if the change isn't specifically on anything here, we are looking at updating our regulations, not just on the ag side, but all the way through, just to bring things current. Our last regulations are 7 years old. Is that our last time we reviewed regs?
2019 was a full review.
So 6 years, going on seven. Those probably need addressed again, just as a whole, just to give an update. I mean, things change. And things go both ways. Like Mr. Jurgen said, the wind farms are banned. I mean, essentially. We nearly did that to solar. They're more or less unbuildable, other than very small setups. Those could go the other way. Maybe we become a wind-friendly county. I don't know. I mean, there's areas that don't mind. There's areas that don't want them. I mean, we have to be realistic of that. Same goes for agriculture. I was just in Johnson County. They're putting these chicken barns up left and right. And, I mean, people are surviving. I mean, people want to eat. So regulations can go anyway. We may get this back from P&Z and it says, instead of a half mile setback, they say 100 feet.
Yeah.
That's the step we're at now is, hey, take a look at these. These are what the committee came up with. Not, we want to change to this. It's just not really at that spot, if that makes sense to anyone. Mr. Lytle.
Let's let everybody speak if they want to speak.
Just kind of around the bush and around the bush. The process was, and the way that I understand it, when it came back from P&Z, was is exactly what Eric said, that, you know, there was no changes going to be brought to us. They were wanting to hear public input and move forward with something coming back to them from this board, is what I understood. There was, you know, and you know, I know there's, you know, fingers that get pointed at Emily for different things. I'm just not beating around the bush. Okay, there's fingers that get pointed at Emily for different things. Emily wasn't the only one on the board that wanted to sit on that subcommittee and look at this. And, you know, that group sat down and they looked at it, and this is what they're bringing forward. You know, I don't think everybody fully agrees with it, but it's a conversation starting point. Okay, it's a conversation starting point that's going to go to P&Z, and then the conversations are had there, and then something comes back to this board that might be realistic, whatever. Okay, so that's really truly all this is. That's kind of the process. That's how it all came about. Okay, it wasn't any one person that wanted this one thing or whatever else. The process was it came back to us. There was a group that wanted to sit down and look at it, you know, off of this board. This board allowed that to happen, and then this is where we're at.
I know we catch grief for allowing too much discussion in meetings, but is there anyone from the public that would want to speak on this specifically with the aforementioned information out? The regulations aren't being changed today. Hopefully the process is a little more clear as far as where we're at. Sir? Oh, I guess you're up next.
Sorry. Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, here in Beatrice. So I think Rex hit the nail on the head. It says in the agenda, this is a draft. So all I see here are people that are probably opponents to these changes. So if it's a draft, how do they even know about all these changes? I know other livestock producers that might be proponents of these changes. I don't see any of them here because nobody knew anything about it. So I'm just asking for fairness here. This group is here to get up and give their opinion on it, but where's the group that maybe would have you know, would want to, not oppose, excuse me, that they would want to agree with these changes. But if nobody's seen this draft yet, how can we, how did they get a hold of this draft?
We will ask them.
Because that, I mean, like I said, there's plenty of other out there. I don't know anything about it. I didn't know about it until I saw the agenda. And I know on the committee meeting Friday, you guys did discuss it then. But I said, you know, nothing has been publicized. So this is, to me, almost like a public hearing. It's not publicized as a public hearing. So I do not think there should be any discussion on this whatsoever today, because it's not fair to the people that maybe would like to have been here and don't know anything about it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir,
if you want to.
Would you give your name and address?
Hello, my name is Nathan Dorn. I live at 4388 South 68th Road in Firth, Nebraska. I have a Firth address, but I do live in Gage County. I'm the president of Gage County Farm Bureau. We represent members across the county, both ag members and non-ag members who mostly buy insurance. But yes, I am the president of Gage County. I also am a livestock feeder. I feed cattle in northern Gage County. I'm not here to beat around the bush. These proposed changes are a kick in the gut for us. And like Mr. Juergen said, you basically eliminated wind farms as a source of income for livestock or for agriculture, supplementing agriculture's income with wind farms. You've almost done the same with solar, and now you're looking to put more rules and regulations on us here. And I understand it's a draft, but it's a draft that you've put forward, and it's a draft that we should be able to speak on. And I'm not saying that all the proposed things are bad. There's probably some common sense things in there. So thank you for doing hard work on that. I would like to say that when people complain about my farm, they complain about the smell and the unsightliness, but they never complain about the tax revenues. And none of you have ever complained about the tax revenues that agriculture pays as far as property tax, personal property, and income tax in Gage County. So as we review this and as we go forward, if you vote to put it in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission, I suspect many of us will be there. I suspect that over the course of the last several meetings, the squeaky wheel has gotten the grease, and we were not the squeaky wheel. But moving forward, if we need to be squeaky, we certainly will. Friendly, above board, Mr. Harris, you and my uncle have a long history or a long relationship. I would not accuse anybody on this board of being underhanded or devious. I believe everything's been above board. But it's on your agenda today. And so I would imagine we are in favor of a very good, spirited discussion. And I hope there's some common ground we can find. But I would just like to be invited to the table when you make these decisions, or at least when you're talking about how to make the decisions. Thank you.
Mr. Dorn, which regulations are you in reference to? Are you referencing the draft letter?
I am referencing the draft letter.
Where did you receive that?
I received it as an email from my cousin last night.
Is there any way that you could tell if he has a new one or an old one? I mean, is there?
Well, I don't.
I'm just curious to see who.
I don't think you can have the new. You've got to have the old one.
I don't know. I got an email at 9:45 last night from my cousin Kyle Dorn. His dad is Myron Dorn. Maybe Myron had an advance copy. I don't know where it came from.
I was just curious because so, I literally just got this morning.
Yeah, and I have no idea when it was proposed. I just saw the setbacks were increased. I also saw that you were going to require us to we spread a lot of cattle manure, several hundred tons of cattle manure a year. You're going to require us to get a permission letter from everybody within a half mile of our proposed spreading sites. That's unrealistic. I testified in front of the state legislature about 8 years ago when Norm Wallman was still senator. He had a proposed bill that would prevent spreading of 2,4-D or any dicamba within 2 miles of any vineyard or wine or grape or fruit production. And that was in his bill. And we have neighbors that don't like us. And there are very, very reasonable reasons that they don't like us. And I can scoop their driveways, and I can move their snow, and I can help cut trees, and I can help, you know, take care of them in the best way, but they still don't like the smell. And if they won't sign the letter, I don't get to spread manure on my fields that I've owned for 50, my grandfather owned, my great-grandfather owned. I don't know the history of my farms, but we've owned these fields, we've farmed these fields for 50 plus years, and now somebody within a half mile gets to tell me I can't do that, which is very concerning to me, because no matter what kind of great neighbor I am, no matter how positive and outreachful I am, there will always be people that don't get it. And so some of these regulations are potentially very harmful to our industry. One in four jobs in the state of Nebraska relies on agriculture. 50% of all agricultural receipts in Nebraska in 2023 came from animal agriculture. And you guys are going to clamp down on animal agriculture in Gage County. And so,
Mr. Dorn, I guess, like I say, in response to that, these are inputs that the P&Z wanted from the public. We do get a lot of input from the public.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. Half mile permission on your own property, I don't feel is realistic. But those are discussions we haven't had. Those are discussions the P&Z hasn't had yet. If this letter goes to the P&Z, that's where they'll start having those discussions. I guess it's been our attitude at the board level as we appoint P&Z members. Each of the villages, they have their own building and grounds, planning and zoning committees. We represent the outside of village, outside of city planning and zoning. So if you look at our P&Z makeup, We do have ag producers on there and things like that. So hopefully that puts you a little bit at peace, as we have other producers and ag-minded people on our P&Z as well.
I was just going to, I mean, when we took some of these, we were trying, that wasn't the intent of that. And so, like, when we were trying to write it, trying to bring in some public comment, like, that wasn't the intent of that. And after meeting with Braden, there was no real good way to phrase that. So we actually took that portion out. The idea or the concept behind that is we didn't, like, you know, next to Norris Public High School, they were worried about spreading manure on the surface during a football game. Like, unrealistic. We don't want to see that kind of thing happen, right? So, but that's... When I met with Braden and Amanda, there was no real good way to write that. There was no real good way to put that in there. We hope that people are good neighbors on that kind of concept. So, but that was actually taken out after meeting with the attorneys. So,
I just want to clear up. I never implied that anybody on the board was underhanded behind the door. I'm saying you guys got all this stuff before we saw it. And I don't believe it come from anyone on the board, because they never saw it until today either. So I just, that needs to be cleared up.
I used yours as an example.
I've been around Roger long enough that I know what he was doing.
Yeah, right.
He was schooling us with...
But you've also got something that was already... Part of it was already corrected before it even came to us. So you're getting things that... It's nonsense has been spread is the problem. And
well, yeah,
that's
what
part
is that?
Of the reason I always like having discussion in our board meetings. I know it takes longer, but... It throws stuff out there, and we try to be as transparent as possible, painfully. But, like I say, there's one issue that's been corrected before it even went on to P&Z. How do you do that? But you have to keep in mind, too, as you ask for public input, you get good input and you get bad input. And it may seem unrealistic, but to a certain individual, it may be very important.
Right.
Try to find, you know, both ends of the spectrum and meet somewhere in between.
Well, by having a draft, it at least stirs discussion. So some of these things, I mean, we tried our best. I worked with Braden. We tried to figure out how to write it better. I mean, it's not perfect, and there could be a better idea out there and a better way to write it. And that's what the public process is for.
I've also sat on boards not dissimilar to this, where a draft comes up and nobody along the way says anything. No public comments were sought. Everything passes, just gets through, and then you get to the end, and it just passes without any changes or revisions, I'm not accusing you of.
You're actually right.
But
yeah.
It's very easy for draft regulations to become actual regulations, a lot easier than it is for draft regulations to be adjusted to become regular regulations.
One of the pieces of a lot of government processes is the inefficiency, and it's very frustrating at times on some things. You make a decision on your farm, hey, I'm going to do this. You make that decision, you do it. I tried to lay out the multiple steps. Whoever came up with the way the rules work, they've put so many safeguards in place to where there are so many sets of eyes and review over review comes back, another review by another board. It's not efficient as far as getting things done quickly, but sometimes getting things done quickly poorly is worse than getting them done slowly and hopefully better. Mr. Dorn, if there's nothing else, I'd ask you to give someone else a second to talk if they would like to. We appreciate your input, though. But if this does pass to go on to P&Z, there will be ample time for discussion at the P&Z level and a public hearing there before anything would be sent to us. When it comes back to this body, there will be ample discussion and a public hearing prior to any vote on any potential changes also. And those changes would be made public. And as far as that goes, the new letter that we do have here, we can make that available to you as well. I would almost say wait to see if anything's passed or if it's passed with any changes so that you have the same current information that we have.
Well, and I welcome the process. I mean, as long as everything's done out in the open and in public, I mean, what is it? Sunshine is the best disinfectant. So let's have open meetings. Let's have open and honest discussions. And I think all of us would welcome that. But when we see it, sending a draft to the Planning and Zoning Commission, that absolutely set us back in our shoes a little bit. So thank you so much for your consideration and your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dorn. Would anyone else like to come up and talk on this? Mr. Otto, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Dean Otto, 633 State Highway 43, Adams, Nebraska. First thing we got to clear up is the manure at Norris School. That is a Lancaster farm, not a Gates County farm. When you accuse all of us guys here for doing improper with our manure, we take that pretty seriously. You might think it's funny. I know earlier Roger made the comment that we would do the discussion during the manure time. Your eyes went like that in the back of your head. You give him the crazy eye look. We all take it very personally here. We have businesses. We don't want to cause any problem with any neighbors because it comes to more regulations. Mr. Jurgens has said the fear of the unknown. That's where we're at. We don't know where this is going. I've never seen regulations get better for the people who are doing the work. You start here, then the next thing it's here, and there's no livestock in Gage County again. An example of that is you can meet all regulations in Gage County and the board still votes you down. We had the Liberty Hog deal on that. There wasn't one regulation we didn't meet. Matter of fact, some people didn't even know that there was a dairy in Liberty on the northwest corner when they were worried about the smell. What I originally came to talk about was the setbacks. If you know, the food banks have more people in them now than they ever have. And the reason that is because there's no money to buy food. How do you make food cheaper? You make more of it. taxes, we're worried about taxes here. I just heard we got to cut spending. The Hope Crisis was here asking for money. That's a pretty important thing. Digitizing stuff from history, that's important, but maybe that has to wait a couple of years. So you get revenue from taxes by having buildings, having people work around there. Income makes taxes. Probably the biggest part of all this is the young farmers. When you shut down opportunities for young people to have livestock, because there's only so much ground. Not everybody can farm all the ground they want, so they go to the livestock side to be diversified and to have work. There's a lot of young farmers who would love to come back today, but there's not an opportunity. If you do something with the livestock, it's going to keep getting worse. Then you talk about people talking and voting. on the voting side, there's more people who are non-farmers, non-ag in Gage County. That doesn't mean it ain't important for food, but if you take everybody that farms and has livestock, and then you take how many people are city people, it's very likely you will get more complaints from the other side. But that doesn't mean it's right. It means somebody's going to go hungry at some point. Some of this may not affect us for 10 or 20 years, but the regs we start do now. The other reason a lot of people move to the country is because they like how the country is. Would that be fair? They don't want to live in town. So they want to come out in the country, and they want to manage it so it ends up like in town. Then we got two messes. There's no place for people to move anymore. If you move to another country, you should go by their rules. Don't bring your own rules in because you moved out because of the way the town was. That's basically all I got. I am very concerned about young farmers having opportunities in Gage County. Other counties are taking that up, letting young farmers get started in livestock and stuff like that. So just remember, what you do today will impact the next 20 to 50 years. And I would ask that you don't pass it on to P&L at this point.
Questions for Mr. Otto?
More of a clarification. I never once said that I don't appreciate how everybody does that stuff. That was a concern, a legitimate concern that was brought forward to us.
By one person.
It was a few of them. I don't agree with all the things in here as either, but it's a process that we have to work through. You put in the ideas into a draft, and then you work through them. You don't get new ideas unless you challenge the ideas that are already there.
But so, if you put in bad ones to begin with, it only gets worse.
Right, and I worked through that with the attorney's office. We took care of it. I'm a livestock producer just like you are. We run quite a few head of cow-calf pairs. So to say that I don't respect everybody that does that, when that is my industry as well, is a little bit off.
But you did make this comment about spreading manure close to a school on my property.
It was a legitimate concern.
And we do take that personally because we do everything we can to make sure the smell doesn't go around.
And you ended up doing in the ground instead of surface.
I will say, though, that discussion's at a point where, I mean, because these rakes will be looked at again. They're going to be looked at not just the ag side, all the way through the regulations. They will be looked at periodically, year to year. Hopefully sometimes they do get better. A lot of times they don't. Sometimes errors are found and corrections are made. That's the intent. But things shift. I mean, you'll see big shifts one direction and then back the other way. We've seen a shift in at the federal level right now. Thank goodness we're a little more even keel locally, at least in Nebraska, than some of the other places. But those would be discussions if regulations are actually being changed. Totally understand where you're coming from on the fear that if we do keep shutting things down, as Mr. Jurgens said, we don't have livestock on the place like we used to. Every farm used to have livestock. Look at your dairies, your hogs, your cattle on places. They're a lot of work, and they're disappearing, so there has to be some way to make up for that. And we are cognizant of that.
That's my concern, the fear.
Thank you,
that
sir.
Future. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Otto? Would anyone else like to speak on this?
My name is Jim Anth. I live at 26802 Southwest 142nd Road, Beatrice. I've been listening to everybody's comments, and I really appreciate what has been said. I am very, very concerned about the setbacks. That's the one issue here that if I were to talk to any livestock producer that I know and ask him whether this was a good option to choose, I personally would have not found anyone that would support this. And so I don't know where these numbers came up with in this committee. That is beyond me that other than an acreage owner that would actually propose that or want that to be proposed, because that definitely will kill the expansion of the industry within Gage County.
Jim, what setback numbers do you have?
I have in this regulation, this proposed draft. You want me to read them?
Numbers didn't change, Eric.
They did not change. Okay, I didn't know if you have the same letters.
I don't know. I will read them to you. Okay. 300 to 500, a quarter mile. 500 to 1,000, 3/8. 1,000 to 2,500, a half. 2,500 to 500. These are the old ones, three-quarter. And 5,000 to 10,000, 1 mile, and 10,000 over a mile and a half.
That was between drafts.
The other ones, right here, what do you think? That's currently what is on the books. The new ones, 300 to 500, a half a mile. 500 to 1,000, three-quarter of a mile. 1,000 to 2,500, 1 mile. 2,500 to 5,000, a mile and a quarter. And 5,000 to 10,000, 1.5 miles. In stating this, as Mr. Juergens said earlier about the wind farm, let's say that you were going to make a proposal that you would not be able to, for biosecurity reasons, for sure, that you would not be able to plant corn or beans within a mile and a half of any other corn or bean field. How many corn and bean fields do you think that you would have in Gage County?
A small fraction.
A very small fraction. That's what you're doing to the livestock industry if you do this. The regulations are hard enough to find a spot now. This would be impossible. One last thing. I've been up here before talking about this. I live really close to the Dan Crawford's event center. I don't know if some of you have been there. I know a lot of you have been there. So I live in the same section. And right next to Mr. Crawford's event center, countryside, is 12,000 head of hogs. Half a mile, less than a half a mile. Within the last year, 2025, within the last fiscal year, there have been 3 brand new houses within that area. Now, why did these people build new houses within a half a mile of 12,000 head of hogs?
Love of pork?
You think that was it? I think it's because it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Your current regulations work. I would recommend that you do not send this to planning and zoning. Let it die. Don't waste all of our time.
I don't mean to make light of that, sir, but any questions for Mr. Entz?
Just make a motion and deny.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak on this? Mr. Otto, your name and
record. My name's Hayden Otto. I live at 255 State Highway 43, Adams, Nebraska. I'm Dean Otto's son, but we did the hog building project a couple years back now. We also have a few cattle of our own. We are livestock producers, I guess. The biggest thing I worry about is the opportunity for young farmers. If you want to phase us out, that would be terrible in this county, I guess. And that's what extending setbacks would do. I have not got a chance to go through the proposed draft, so I'm here to speak on the old one as well, that it was suffice for what we were looking for as a county, the balance. 2 weeks ago, I went down to Hereford, Texas to deliver a grain cart, and I was fortunate enough to go drive around. There's 100,000 head feed yards everywhere there. The regulations there, I can tell you, are not anywhere near these, and there's a reason why there's no houses out around those feedlots. There's weeds in the ditches. The regulations that you guys have put in place have kept this county to the level that it should be at. I think that's important to remember as you try to – there is a balance. To have this county move towards anti-ag would be detrimental to the economy as well as the young guys you don't want to keep in this county. I think it's very fortunate. Too bad you guys didn't get to see a copy of the draft. I didn't either. But I think it's very fortunate you see the weight of the situation. There's quite a few producers here in this room, and I think that shows how important this is to us. We took time out of our days. We have pivots running, livestock to feed. I mean, we do have stuff to do, too. And then I'll kind of go back to the event center thing. I have a couple friends who are engaged and looking for places to have their wedding. The event center by the Hog Building is booked up pretty far. It is tough to get a spot there, so that kind of speaks on that as well. People aren't afraid of it. I appreciate your guys' time.
Questions for Mr. Otto?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak on this? Mulder, please give your name and address for the record.
Roy Mulder, 6005 East Gage Road, Firth, Nebraska. In 2015, I applied for a permit for chicken barns. I didn't get started building until 2018 because of all the pushback that I had. So I think, like some of the previous speakers have said, what you guys have in place is working. I had to work through it. But there was a lot of emotion. There was a lot of, as you guys put it, undue fear. Eric went up to a chicken barn that's a mile and a half outside of Waverly. There's 18 barns within a mile of Waverly, and Waverly don't complain. Eric brought the information that he and another board member found, no dust, no flies, no smell. Nobody believed him. We still went through the big emotional thing. I think if everybody checks the boxes as laid out by planning and zoning and by the zoning requirements, that it should be kind of a no-brainer. And you guys voting on that would send a clear message saying we are pro-agriculture, we are pro-livestock. The rules have been made. We're not going to change them as the game goes along, and we're going to approve your building permit. Smart Chicken is looking for a certain amount of growers, as Lisa kind of implied, and they're wanting us to sign letters of intent. Well, it's kind of hard to do when we don't know what direction you guys are going, so... That's about all I got to say.
Questions for Mr. Mulder? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Anyone else like to come up?
Good morning. Steve Martin, 25255 South 54th Street, Firth, Nebraska. Actually on the Lancaster County side of the line there. I'm here with the Alliance for the Future of Agriculture in Nebraska. And just wanted to make a quick comment. Appreciate the process, and especially the explanation of what that process looks like. I received a copy of the original draft, I guess it would be, last week. So appreciate again that there's a process and things are being updated and working through that. So.
Steve, who sent you a letter, or who sent you a draft letter?
I actually got it from Sherry Vinton, the Director of Agriculture. So I would assume because of livestock-friendly regulations, Gage County being a livestock-friendly county, it probably got sent to her to bring her up to speed on where that would be as far as the state program for livestock-friendly. So... I guess my biggest thoughts, again, going back to what I saw, I haven't seen the new one either, looking forward to seeing that, is just kind of that whole thought of this will keep any new livestock out of the county. Appreciate that there's been changes made already. You know, when you look at agriculture and how you grow it, it's already been stated before, but it's young people. They can't compete buying land to farm, so... Livestock is the next answer, and you use that to leverage your growth into that industry. If you make it harder on them, you make it harder on your local young farmers. So I guess the other thought I had is I heard it mentioned that your comprehensive plan is coming up for review. Typically, you use your comprehensive plan to formulate then your regulations. So it would be my thought that this not move forward at this time, go through your comprehensive plan, do that process rather than, you know, doing this process now, and then you do your comprehensive plan, and then you potentially go back and redo your regulations again. Just seems like you're kind of getting one piece ahead of the other piece. So that would be my thought right now is take this in steps, take your time. These would be impactful, so you want to make sure you get them right. So thank you.
Questions for Mr. Martin?
All right. Thank you.
Sir.
Margaret?
Can I get a copy of this? If everyone else seems to have a copy of
this? I don't think they have a copy of this. I don't. It's unfortunate that some artificial draft was passed out. That's very unfortunate. If it's sent to the state level, that's even more unfortunate because they got bogus information.
The draft from the last meeting, Eric, and then the new draft was based on legal counsel's advice.
Okay, so there was an actual draft then.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean that's.
But it was never shared. Though.
But we had a copy, but it was never like formally sent. That was the problem. It wasn't formally sent to the P&Z, so that's why we were doing this today.
Brayden's going to clear this up for us. I
could I please? So the zoning administrator had received an email from the county clerk with what you had requesting her to put it on for public hearing. At that point, the zoning administrator had sent out what was sent to her from the county clerk to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The zoning administrator is quite an efficient government employee. She acted on it immediately. After that, she had consulted with legal counsel, and I advised her that there was nothing properly before the commission at that time. One of the ways to amend the regulations is a proposal from the county board. It was my opinion that the county board had not taken an action on that proposal, and I believe that's what is here today. So I don't think there's any wrongdoing or ill intent. The zoning administrator had been sent the draft from the county clerk asking her to put it on for public hearing, and that's when she acted. So, again, I don't think there's any negative or anything like that. She was passing on what was passed on to her. And then once I saw it, I noticed there were quite a few red flags in there, things that were discriminatory between producers and things that conflicted with other regulations. Had a chance to meet with Ms. Haxby. We took some of those things out to make a better product, and I believe that's what you have here today. So that's the story there if you have any questions on process.
Brayden, did we send that out then to producers, a preliminary draft, send it out to producers and on to the state prior to it ever being reviewed?
Nothing came from me. I will say that I know the zoning administrator has sent it on to the commission. I'm not sure if commission members sent it anywhere else, but that is my understanding, is when she was given it by the county clerk to put on for public hearing, she got that out to the people that would be conducting that public hearing.
I would think an unreviewed draft sending it out to everyone would be irresponsible at the least and dangerous at the most.
No, it wouldn't be.
That's
public. Once it goes to the commission, that's public. Now,
if
you want to do it differently, it has to be a closed session. That's why our closed session.
Even unreviewed or anything, where no one's seen it?
Mr. Team, if I could,
the
zoning administrator received an email from the county clerk saying that the county board had asked her to put it on for a public hearing. So
it was officially sent over.
I don't know if it was voted on at the last meeting.
We just didn't vote, so that's why we're declaring it up on this one.
I get it.
I think that might be the case.
Your concerns, but underlying that. And again, the process got backed up when it hit our office. We looked at that. Says let's back it up and do it the correct way. Now, you know, as a commission sharing it with a neighbor that's a producer, you're not going to stop that unless you have a meeting in closed session and say, hey, leave it on the table. We're still working on this, and we don't want a bad copy going out. And I'm not blaming anybody for that because she wasn't looking at the legal end of it. That's what Brayden
and I talked to Amanda a long time ago, and then Brayden caught a few more things, and so that's why we met and we got it cleaned up. And again, it's a draft. It's meant to be to start conversation, not what it's going to end up being.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get that word out. I wanted to defend Lisa a little bit. There's no wrongdoing here. She was given what she had been received from the county clerk, apparently on behalf of the board. We stopped the brakes, wanted a vote on it to send it to P&Z, and I think that's where we're at now. So
I just hate getting people worked up if there's not something. But I understand I understand where it went. And we do want it as public as possible in anything we do. Anyone else like to speak on this issue? If not, I turn it back to the board. You have a draft before you. Mr. Lytle.
I had been thinking a little bit along the same lines as what Steve actually brought up. Lisa, would you mind Would you mind giving us timeline and everything on the comp? You know, what that looks like, how that goes? Because Steve does bring up a really good thought.
When the thought come up, Gary, from PNZ, when we knew our comp plan is due in a year and a half, basically, for that 10-year review.
So can you give the rest of the board kind of what that timeline looks like and, you know, how that – I know you don't know the full answers, but how does that kind of look?
2026, we should begin the comp plan process. And then from the comp plan process, then a full review of our regulations. At the time that PNZ was looking at, you know, community outreach, part of that process when we got a first early bid was that the community outreach could be part of, you know, the meetings could be a part of that proposal. I had gotten one cost for sure. And you know, brought that up to the board. It's going to run around $60,000 to $65,000 for a full comp review with community outreach. So we've discussed it briefly at, you know, at committee meetings, you know, where to move forward. I did not budget for it this year. The thought was Haxby had said that, you know, what we could do is maybe look at other counties as well, you know, to try to save the county some funding. I still believe that community outreach is really important on all regulations. So I know Haxby had mentioned about the, you know, surveys, things of that nature, but conversations, you know, work so much better in review if we can have that one-on-one, and our zoning commission can have one-on-one instead of coming in from a survey analysis.
I think also so. By working through kind of slowly or section by section, that way you're not, because the, you know, before it was a lot for them to like take the whole thing in one shot. By working through separate sections, it's a lot easier to handle than a large.
When you have an outside entity such as a consultant come in, they can look at our state statutes, they can see what challenges have, you know, been brought forward and so forth, and that's why it would be very advantageous for PNC to go through the process with a planning consultant again.
And it's been how long since we did that last?
Hannah Keelan. We redid our own in 2019, you know, basically. We got the draft, we redid our own, did the updates, added the wind, but I would say 2010 was the last time that we actually had a, you know, public meetings, community outreach with planning and zoning comp plan.
So 15 years.
Yep.
2028 is when this comp plan is up.
Yep. And we would start, obviously, with the bidding process and, you know, here pretty soon.
Right.
So,
you know, my thought is that, you know, as you look, you know, if we advance this, I think the conversation is a good conversation. But if we advance this today, you know, and you start working through it and you go through 6-8 months of PNZ work on it, and then another 2 or 3 or 4 months with us, now you're getting into overlapping when we could be doing the comp plan. And I think that the comprehensive overview of that whole thing might be the good place to start. And then if we need to go for, you know, we should be able to look at that inside of that.
I have a question. So this actually started last year, correct?
2023.
So this started in 2023 being to the review to the PNZ. So we're talking a time frame there of taking that long where it will go to the comp plan. But Mrs. Haith is exactly right. This ended up being a public hearing with only one side here because of the being sent out. Within hours of getting off the board meeting, I'm getting anonymous text about this issue. And just so you guys can share, if somebody wants to send me an anonymous text, you're wasting your time. Put your name to it, or it ain't going nowhere. So,
how'd you send it anonymous?
That happened instantly. So we are in a public hearing without calling it a public hearing.
Other than there isn't actually anything, I mean, there's no change to be made here.
Zero change. zero, and it was not even on the agenda for a change.
Mr. Juergens.
I'd like to make a motion to disapprove sending this regulation to the board because I think we're going about it ass backwards.
Motion by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Lytle to disapprove the advancement of the livestock regulation draft to the P&Z Commission for a reason of timing and process.
Well, whatever I said.
Is that all right?
For
timing and process.
Terry, I have a question. We're in the discussion part now, correct? Okay, so if this was requested prior and we're getting there, what is the route you want to see taken?
Planning and zoning, the whole thing. If we're going to review one section of it, you do it all.
That's what we're doing.
You're doing one section right now.
It's the whole 6.4 section.
The whole comprehensive plan, all of it. And it starts with planning and zoning, not with us.
We're trying to send it to planning and zoning.
We're giving planning and zoning recommendations, which is what they do to us, give us recommendations.
Right. But, okay. Terry, if you remember right, we asked it in a broad...
I don't need to argue about it. That's what I feel.
We asked it in a broad form, and they said they wanted public comment.
I think they'll step up the plate now.
So we asked for the exact same thing we asked for 2 years ago, and they'll actually do it this time? I'm sorry, but that we tried it that way the first time. They asked for public input. We got it. We put it into
Emily,
a draft.
What do you want to do, take over planning and zoning?
I'm trying to just send a draft for discussion.
Don't agree with it.
Well, I agree with both of you, but I agree with Gary that I was going to say something before you did, with Mr. Martin had brought up a very good point of... you know, we've talked about requesting a proposal for a comprehensive plan, and it's taken way too much time. I would like to move forward with that as soon as we could. So,
Mr. Claybaugh, there's discussion on not spending the money to.
And I agree.
Go through a consultant. I typically do too. Along with what Lisa said, though. The consultants are looking at changes to state regulations, things that we may or may not know. I think we need to consider that, too, if we're looking at a full comp or a regulation change. We can go through them item by item, and we have to as we go through and approve anything. I think it needs to be considered, though, are we looking at the full picture, the broad picture, are we looking at state law changes, things like that, that we may not be aware of. And I don't think Lisa or the P&Z would necessarily be aware of them either unless... That's why we bring the consultant in, is to bring ourselves up to date on those.
Well, I agree with Terry and Emily both, but maybe this will prompt the P&Z to look at this. Because Terry's right, P&Z is where this should come from. And if they're not doing it, then obviously there's members that maybe don't want to be there no more, which some have expressed that, correct? So maybe it's time you look at some of that also. But it's not a good one way or the other.
Although it would come from P&Z when we want them to look at something, specifically, it would be appropriate for the board to send them notice that they want, that the board
that
wants them to look
the time,
at
so.
Something in specific. This would be an example of that if the board's wish is to have them look at section 6.4. This is the process that would be, that we would go through to say, hey, look at this section. This is what's going on. These are the recommendations from the public. It just depends on which direction the board wants to go. They sent it back to us and said they weren't interested.
Yeah,
no,
they said no recommendations.
Opinion.
Yeah,
because they wanted so public
they
opinion.
Changes.
We did that.
They said I was sitting right there at that meeting. They said they didn't recommend any changes. Now, they may have said they wanted some public input.
They said public.
But again, you've got to put it in context.
P&Z
those people were beat up.
P&Z said they wanted no public.
No.
P&Z said they wanted public.
But again, these folks have been meeting, like I said, at least once a month, Ed, and they've, for how long, Lisa? When this came up from the board the first time in, what was it, 23? And I remember because they were tired. You could see it. They were just tired of hearing all the squabbling. And it wasn't specific looking at the hog production situation.
No, it was topics just coming off of wind. We were working on solar. We were working on an amendment to the wind regulations at that time to increase to 1 mile. But again, they wanted to look at all regulations, you know, too. So, and there was no change offered with the livestock at that time. We did, going back in 2019, we offered what the change that you voted on were the impacts of agriculture that were added to each one of the A1 through A4s, which when you move out into the rural areas, these are the impacts of agriculture, you know, manure, flies, dust, rodent, nighttime activity, aerial spraying, all those. And those are clearly identified in each one of the regulations, A1 through 4, moving into the agricultural challenges. So,
additional discussion.
I think it's very clear P&Z committee has a very daunting task, underappreciated probably both sides when there's issues like they are. And it's no wonder they get burned out. Like Roger says, they feel beat up because they're not winning from either side they're talking to. So
they got beat up really bad between hogs, wind, and not so much on solar, but both sides were very passionate on both sides of the argument. They definitely weren't making any friends as they went through these different issues that came up, and that was a rough time. Still my recollection, like Lisa said, there was no recommendation made when the request was made last time. They just wanted public input, and they didn't have time for it, so they wanted the board to do it. I had said we don't have time for it. And it was determined we would have public input through our meetings since they were advertised and regularly scheduled. At that request, we put together a committee and they took that public input, right, wrong, or otherwise, just for backstory for you guys. We do have a motion by Juergens and second by Lytle to disapprove for reasons of timing and process, sending the livestock regulation to the Planning and Zoning Commission with the intent that the overview of the comp plan and the overall regulations will be reviewed within the next 12 to 24 months. Started, at least.
I'd like to see us follow through with something we started on 2 years ago. I think working through small pieces instead of something in that large of a bulk is a lot to accomplish and puts a lot more pressure on a volunteer board saying, hey, look at everything, all 100-some pages instead of section by section. If we want outside input from consults, we can always look at the regulations from places that have already paid for those consults, because let's be really honest, it's probably just a cut and paste to every county that they work on. So we can easily go look to see what's always been done or look at other counties.
A lot of it is copy and paste, I think, on a lot of these studies. But
you got to be careful, because everybody, like we did, the P&Z made some changes in the cut and paste stuff. And that sometimes is not as coordinated as it should be. And that's just something you got to watch out for. When you pay for the cut and paste, and it sounds trite, but be careful. Those people have coordinated that with state statute as well as with the hearing provisions. We got one situation with the petition here in Gage County for the supermajority vote. That one was changed because P&Z people thought that was a good deal to have that opportunity. Mr. Mulder was on the receiving end of that one. And again, I'm not saying good or bad or indifferent, but they thought about that, made that change from the original cookie draft. That came from a different part of the comprehensive plan completely. And when we first came up on that, we were trying to figure out where in the heavens we found or where they found that. But I just make that note. You always like to save money, and this board does that. But sometimes you got to sit right down, and it comes down to the people reading those 100 pages or whatever it is. Input is really important from both sides of the fence. And that's, we rely on, you know, whether it's the producers, the acreage people that own out there, the smaller cities and villages out there that are impacted. You need everybody to do that because it's very, as you well know, you start reading through that comp plan.
I know it ain't going to be good. So I don't
it's right. Very it's difficult. Not, it is even for council. Let's see. So I give it to the young eyes.
Trying to make it read section that. By section and I'm trying to make it a lot easier.
Well, and then the interplay.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that.
I do want to remind everybody, when we started planning and zoning, the very first planning and zoning, it might have been Hannah Keelan that did it. I don't remember who did it.
Yeah.
But we copied Clay County. They did Clay County, and they Clay County paid $20,000 for them to implement planning and zoning. We gave them $20,000 to get a copy of Clay County's planning and zoning. So your copy and paste went over to a whole book, is what it was. And that's how the copy and paste game works.
But Clay County, they're putting in ag facilities over there too.
But this is how many years ago though that was that we copied it. So,
Mr. Brinkmeyer,
it was what?
I think it was Wayne Brinkmeyer, 1976.
We've got a motion and a second on the floor.
I'd like to see us still move forward. I mean, we started this process 2023. We sent a letter and gave a very broad, hey, look this over, have some discussions, and it came back as we went to public opinion. So we did. We had those. We had public opinion. We're not going to follow through on our end if we don't continue to move forward with this discussion. It's discussion. It's a starter piece. I don't necessarily all agree with all the way it is now, but that's how you have discussion. We might find something better or a different way to write this. But to say that we don't or continue to move forward with this, you asked the committee to do it. We met three times based on that opinion. I met with council to go through just to make sure that we were on the right track legal-wise. We've got to continue through the process. Only half the crowd that I would assume would be here that would have an opinion on this is even here today.
Well, and on this, it's strictly a discussion on whether to push this on to the P&Z. I just want to clarify on this, a yes vote would be voting yes to disapprove sending this. So a yes vote means you do not send this on the P&Z. A nay vote is against disapproving, which doesn't actually send it anywhere. It just stops. So a nay vote stops it. Nothing happens. A vote in favor disapproves sending it in. So yes vote means we don't send it to P&Z. No vote, nothing happens. Does that make sense? Yes vote, we don't send it to P&Z. No vote, it stalls.
Wouldn't the no vote just be, it leaves us right where we're at right now.
Right, exact same place.
Yeah.
So as far as sending it in, I guess it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but Mr. Lytle.
I'm going to vote with the idea of I believe that we need to be working on the comprehensive plan. I was not apprised, or maybe I wasn't paying attention at that point in time. I wasn't apprised that we were looking to save the money and not do the comprehensive plan.
I was aware,
we were always doing that and moving forward with it.
I think that's still the intention, Gary. I don't think that
okay.
It was just brought up in conversation that we could save money and not do that, but I think the intention has still been to move forward. And we're required to move forward with that in some manner or another anyway.
And I think through the comprehensive plan, you might see some adjustments to this that move in one direction or the other. And then from there, we can always carry this ball further if that's where we need to go. My feelings.
Comprehensive plan is coming up. It gives us every opportunity to review all of our regulations and then adapt our regulations to what the comprehensive plan does. And so the timeliness is really an advantage in this case, and certainly would go on the agenda, in August if that's the desire of this board. So
As a reminder, a committee was appointed to review this and present back to us. So we're basically advancing the committee's recommendation or not. But once again, a vote in favor is saying we will not send it on. A vote against, we just stay where we are. Any additional discussion or any question on the motion? If not, please vote. 5 in favor, with Haxby voting nay to disapprove sending the committee's recommendation on to planning and zoning.
I'll be pulling those. I'd like a copy of the recording for those meetings.
The previous meetings?
Where all this stuff came from and what was asked.
We're not sending it on by a vote of 5-1. Motion to disapprove advancing this to planning and zoning. Okay. Any additional discussion on this item? If not, the discussion moves on to fiscal year 25-26 county budget.
Can we take care of the negotiation thing? Because I got to get going. So if you want to do that at all.
We will skip ahead over county budget discussion. Okay. If you want to call her, we'll skip ahead to the closed session item for FOP. I assume this is FOP negotiation update.
This, we're not doing this today.
No, I have it for the next time because it was just a short notice.
I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. This would be a negotiation, contract negotiation update, and for personnel. No action will be taken in this closed session. And I don't see any action being taken after this closed session. I'm sorry? Prior to doing this, we will take a 5-minute recess at 11:29. No, I don't have a motion yet either. These will seem pretty good for your heart.
I agree with you.
We'll reconvene at 11:38.
You go to my desk. I got stuff on there.
A low-fat snack.
That's one of those things that just worries me.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury due to reputation of individual. This closed session will specifically be about contract negotiation update and personnel at 11:39 now.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Man, he's getting excited about getting that damn.
Second by Adams.
Adams.
Please vote. 4 in favor. They're dropping like flies.
Look.
Don't know how.
Okay.
We will reconvene. I need a motion to come out of closed session at 1:10. Moved by Claybaugh, second by Adams. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 4 in favor. We're back in regular session at 1:10 on the clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Short agenda today. Carly's still here. She wasn't going to miss us. Anything for the good of the order?
I hate to say this, but are you going to go back to the one you skipped, or are we just going to forget that for the day? I mean, there's
only four
of us left, but...
Okay, discussion on fiscal year 25-26 budget. We will be making adjustments. Right now we're at a yellow line on the official state site that will not allow us to move forward. With budgets that have come in so far, we're at an 18% increase from last year. In years past, we're usually closer to that 2% mark. Allowable is 3%. So we are significantly over our allowable at this time. We'll be reviewing each department's budget as well as outside funding. Currently, we're holding all outside sources at the level they were last year. We have requests from almost every agency for an increase, as well as additional agencies wanting more money. We're going to have to look at how to fund ourselves first right now. This will be the first new year of this cap. Not sure what that'll look like exactly yet, but we will be working on that this week and next week. Hopefully by committee meetings Monday, we have a slightly different picture for you, but we may or may not. But like I say, right now we need to be nice to cut about $2 million out of our proposed potential budget, which is a fair amount on a small budget. Any questions on the 25-26 county budget or items that you would like us to spend the money on or get money taken out of?
I have a request from the Valley Community Action again that they want to come present. Request, and that is one of them that we've never had a statute that we can fund, so that's
I would say we let them come in and give them 5 minutes to go over their their spiel if we have questions for them. I mean, just to be fair to everyone. But it's yet another agency that wants funding, and we're already
we're not statutorily allowed
to fund them, but we used to, and they're going to ask for funding. We aren't allowed to, and we don't have the money to give to them this year anyway. But yeah, hopefully Monday or Wednesday we have a little different picture, or at least where we're anticipating making cuts. Gary thought that you could take 10% out of the sheriff's budget and 10% out of the jail. Is that correct?
Well, you can take 10% out of everybody's budget. If you want to get 1.3 to pulled out of 13 million, you take 10% out of everything. Good luck.
I don't know that that works. I mean, it works. It's just, I don't know if that'd be exactly the right route.
I don't think that's going to be enough money.
If inflation and costs of stuff and whatever else are the cause of this, it's not just the sheriff and the jail and the highway department that are creating it. It's everywhere. So you can't expect, just because they're the three biggest budgets, you can't expect them to cover all the costs of that budget reduction.
Nope, that's true, too. That is true, too. We'll just have to go through and look really hard and see.
Keep your daggers in your eyes, dang it.
No, not me. I'm just saying that I don't think if you add that up, I don't think they do enough. No. I really don't.
Not that I remember. What's the proper amount to it?
They are. That's the bad thing. I mean, even if you take an entire person out of an office, it doesn't affect the overall picture very much. That's it. Unless you have questions on the budget, we'll be looking through that. I don't know how it'll work. It'll all be fine.
Sure felt like
fans and stuff. Well,
hey, $8. My $5 fan only made about four meetings.
And it quit.
So I spent $8 on this one.
Big spender. We will be adjourned at 1:15.